Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we are in the continuing in the 12th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read this verse again in verse 33. I want to get into the 13th chapter pretty quickly, but we've been kind of camped on this theme. And the scripture says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now, isn't it interesting that I don't know of a single reference Bible that will take you back to the book of Genesis with a cross reference with respect to the tree. But there were two trees in the garden, you know, many, many trees, but all the fruit trees and so forth. But there was a tree of life, and then there was another tree, and God didn't plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. People try to blame that on God. No, that was planted by the devil. What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's a way which seemeth right unto a man. So, as we've been looking at this and going over it again and again, we need to understand that every religious system in the world, except in the past biblical Judaism and in the present biblical Christianity, is, you know, it's based upon what God has done for us in Christ. The sacrificial system, God gave the Jews the law to condemn them, because the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. So if we can't be justified by our works, where did those works come from? They came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's amazing to me, and I've done research, I've read many, many theologians over the years, and I never, ever see any of them referencing that, man's morality to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we didn't get our morality from God, we got it from the devil. It's a way which seems right. And if you think about it, every religious system in the world, you know, most of what's called Christianity, virtually all that was called Judaism, as well as all of the other religious systems of the world, are all trying to make themselves fit for God's presence by the life that they live. That's why I've mentioned this again and again. That's why we have comparative religion classes in college. And what is the basis for comparison? Morality. Okay. But biblical Christianity, biblical Judaism, was not based upon what we can do for God. God gave them, the Jews, the law to condemn them. And he gave them the sacrificial system and the pattern of the tabernacle, later the temple, to provide for them a type of the sacrifice of Christ in the sacrifice of the lambs, the goats, the sheep, whatever was sacrificed. Christ is said to be the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sin of the world. Now, it's interesting that under the canopy of Christianity, and basically in this age, the custodian of the truth is the church, you know. And salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we've done. Salvation is by God's mercy. And he gives us the faith to believe that Christ fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled all righteousness. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And if we believe that when he died for us, we have eternal life. And when shall we perish?
Never.
Now, under the canopy of Christianity, under the religious systems of the world, man's relationship with God is based upon what man can do for God. This is absolutely contrary to the scriptures. You know, the scriptures, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, and the basic thing, the scripture says, okay, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ arose, you arose. So, with respect to what we do in the flesh, what does the scripture say? You're dead. And your life is what? It's hid with Christ in God. Okay. So, what do most of the churches teach? They're all trying to make us into little Christ. Yeah. And we're not. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. God charged it to our account when he gave us the faith to believe. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We preach the word of God, and the Spirit of God quickens that word to our hearts so that we can realize that we're sinners and that Christ died for us. And it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. Now, when we see Jesus teaching, in his public ministry, the Jews, and the Jews were under a covenant of law, that's what we have in Matthew. That's what we have in Mark. That's what we have in Luke. John's gospel is different. Okay. And John, basically, if we take John and then the three epistles of John, then we see that salvation is by God's grace through faith. Remember when he talks to Nicodemus in the third chapter of Matthew? Nicodemus was the chief teacher. In other words, he was the head rabbi. He was the authority in things Jewish. And Jesus said, art thou the teacher in Israel? And you don't understand these things? What was Jesus talking about? Go back to John chapter 3. Yeah. In the third chapter of John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We could read that in the Greek, he is the ruler. And by ruler, it means he is the primary scholar. Okay? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which would be master, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he had observed the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus, raised the dead, caused the blind to see, healed lepers, did all kinds of things, and he had observed that. And he recognized that could only be done by God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or we would say truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, it really says in the Greek, except a man be born from above. The source of our life is in God, and God is above or in heaven. Okay? So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Paul told us that the natural man receiveth what? He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man thinks according to what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So all religions, you know, everything under the canopy, or virtually everything under the canopy of Christianity and everything outside of the canopy of Christianity, most of it is based upon what man can do for God. But for the believer, that group of people that have been given faith in Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's not by works of righteousness, which you've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. Then he also said that when Christ died, you died. Therefore, you're dead and your life is hid. Where? With Christ in God. Well, if you're dead, then why does man put so much emphasis upon the life of the believer? Because it's tied up in the lie of the devil. And the natural man thinks that way. So if you want to have a big church, you have to pander to the idea that you're good people. You know? Now, the scripture teaches us that we don't run to the same excess of riot that we formerly ran to. But it also teaches us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It teaches us if we should say that we have no sin, what?
Deceiver.
We're self-deceived. You deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. So coming back to what Jesus said to Nicodemus, Jesus answered in verse 3 and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is just thinking in the natural realm. You know, he hasn't become redeemed at this point in time. So he thinks according to the law. He thinks according to man. You know, basically he thinks according to the lie of the devil. We all think that way until God changes our mind by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, everybody thinks that they get to heaven by the life that they live. But that's not true. You know, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for infants, for, or little kids, until they reach the age of what? Accountability. And with the Jews, that was, I can't remember now whether it was 19 or 20 years of age. I think it was 19. So that everybody that was 20 years old and older was responsible to the law. But the others were covered passively by the blood of Christ, you know. And so when God said that you're all going to die in the wilderness, he kept the younger ones from 19 and under. He preserved them through the years of the wilderness. But all of the older people died off in the wilderness except Joshua and Moses and Caleb. And of course, Moses died. Moses wasn't allowed to go into the land because he misrepresented the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, what does the world think according to? What seems right to them? What seems right to them? The multitude of the religious systems of the world. And they're all based upon the devil's concepts of right and wrong. So, is good better than evil? Yeah. You know, but are we, you know, while we have a knowledge of good, you know, we say this is the right thing to do, that's the right thing to do, you know, we also have a knowledge of evil. And we're like a we vacillate back and forth, sometimes almost simultaneously, you know, between thinking according to what seems right and between thinking according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So that makes us we're a conundrum, a mystery, a business. You know, it doesn't make sense to us. But, you know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. So the devil's lie is you can be like God by what you do. But the scripture says it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. So when Jesus is teaching the Jews here in Matthew, he's trying to bring them over to what was represented in the sacrificial system. And the law, of course, condemned them, and the sacrificial system portrayed him as the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sin of the world. So, is it better to do good than to do evil? Absolutely. No. But we can't get into the presence of God by the good that we do. And the only thing that can be remembered of what we do is the just shall live how? By faith. And the law is what? It's not of faith. So all of the things that we're trying to do to please God by touch not, taste not, handle not, can't be remembered. You're dead. And your life is what? Hid with Christ and God. So, you know, I was saved in when I was 21 years old. So I've, you know, take that up to the present. You know, I've been saved most of my life. I'm now 90 and a half years old. I was 21 and a half when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. So, been saved for a long time. But there's not one thing about my life, nor is there one thing about the fact that I've been in the ministry for, you know, a lot of years, been in Christ for a lot of years, but there's not one thing about anything that I've done that makes me fit for God. I was made fit for God's presence when he quickened the word of God to my heart and gave me the faith to believe. And the same thing's true of you. So in that position now, the scripture tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. So as we grow, then we begin to recognize, yeah, doing the right thing is fine, but we're really to operate by faith, and law is not faith. So our life is not based upon touch, not taste, not handle. You know, is it better to do good than to do evil? Yeah, but your life is hid. How's it hid? In Christ, in God. So it's Christ's life that stands for your life. It's his blood that was shed for your sin. So that when we read here in John then, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man in verse 4 be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking in the natural realm and he's saying, how can I be born again? Well, the way I was born in the first place, my mother was impregnated by my father, and I, you know, that germinated and formed a body within the womb of my mother, and I grew up to a particular point. And when the pregnancy was, you know, coming to its end, it was nominally 9 months, and I was born into this world. You know. Okay, so now that's how I was born in the natural. Is that how I'm born in the spiritual? No. And so Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is the water of life. You know? And so it's and the Word of God is spoken of as the Word of God, or the water of life. And so, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we're born into the family of God. And then he goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So by my natural birth, I have no relationship with God. By your natural birth, you have no relationship with God. Now, as parents, we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. You know? So we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or habit of some is. You know, there are so many distractions in this world. Every time the school has a meeting, PTA meeting or whatever, it's always on Wednesday night. For years, the church or the schools made it a point not to have meetings on Wednesday night because most of the churches have a prayer service or, a preaching service and prayer meeting and so forth on Wednesday night. And the same thing with Sunday, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Christ rose on the first day of the week. Therefore, the church meets on the first day of the week. The Jews kept the Sabbath. That was part of the law. But we're not under the Sabbath law. We're dead to the law. And we're alive unto God by faith in Jesus Christ. So he said, marvel not that I said in verse 7, you must be born again. You must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So now we're comparing the wind in the natural realm to the Spirit of God in the spiritual realm. And it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. So, looking about, everybody that's here this morning are believers. But we put our messages online and people hear them. And faith comes by hearing. And we have people that are saved and they listen. And it's possible for people to listen and be saved. Or it's possible to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Now, once we've trusted Christ as Savior, faith comes, the faith for every day comes how? By hearing. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as what? The habit, the manner of some is. See? And it's not a legalistic thing. You don't have to attend church. You don't have to attend prayer meeting. But if you want to grow, how are you going to grow? In the natural realm, how many of you go daily without eating? So we have to put food into our bodies. And I've got a thyroid problem. I finally got it. My medication works out. But my thyroid problem's the opposite of what most people have. Most people, if they have problems with their thyroid, they have a tendency to gain weight. And I take a drug called levothyroxine. And when they first gave it to me, it was too much, and I was gaining weight. And they gave it to me because I was losing weight. So, thyroid problems, you either lose weight by thyroid problem or you gain weight by thyroid problem. So I finally got it worked out now. They gave me too big a dose at first. I said, I'm getting too much weight around my middle. And then we changed the dosage and then I wasn't, I was losing weight. So finally got it worked out, And it's nice to have drugs that can help us with things like that. But in the natural realm, we have to have food to maintain life. Now, we can go for about 30 days without food, but we can't go without water. You die very quickly if you don't have water. Okay, what is Jesus compared to? The water of life. Now, we can't lose our salvation, but we can fail to grow. So that's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of something. We don't do this to, flaunt our goodness, our righteousness. No. The more we know about the Word of God, the more confidence we have in the personal work of Christ. The devil's going to point a finger at you every time you do something that falls under the realm of sin. He's going to point a finger at you. And you're going to feel guilty. And then because you feel guilty, you're not going to want to assemble together. But if we understand our relationship with the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He knew about every single one before He gave us the faith to believe. So we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we're secure in Christ. We can't lose our salvation. He gives unto us what? Eternal life. And when shall we perish?
Never.
So He goes on with this religious man in the system of the Jews, the chief teacher, the chief rabbi. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's a natural birth, there's a spiritual birth. Nicodemus answered in verse 9, how can these things be? Now, he was the chief ruler in Israel, but he didn't understand spiritual truth, because a natural man doesn't understand it. So you can be very religious, and you can know all about the Jewish relationship with God based upon law, but unless you see that the law was a schoolmaster to show you that you're a sinner, that's the purpose of the law. The purpose isn't to teach us how to live, it's to show us we can't live to God's standard. Once we understand that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou, and here's where the master in Israel, art thou the chief scholar in Israel? Knowest not these things? You, as a scholar in Israel, should know these things, but you've never been born again. You're a religious man, but a lost man. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and testify to that we have seen, and because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, are the only ones that understand spiritual truth, and you haven't been made spiritually alive, you can't understand the things of God. So when the Lord gives us the faith to believe, then He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? So we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. But as our lives before God are not based upon touch, not taste, not handle. It's better to do good than to do evil. But, it's only what we do by faith that can be remembered. And the law is what? It's not of faith. So he goes on to say, if I have told you earthly things, talking about wind and rain, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, who? Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's talking to Nicodemus on the earth, but he's an omnipresent God. So he's in the presence of God in heaven at the same time that he was ministering on the earth. So he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When the Jews were ready to go into the land, they were grumbling and complaining. They hadn't kept the law which their parents promised to keep it. They promised to keep it, but they couldn't. And so he said, in order for you to be redeemed, the Son of Man has to be lifted up. So the Jews, before they went into the land, were being bitten by poisonous serpents. And Moses was told, make a serpent of brass. Brass represents judgment. Serpent represents sin. Place it upon a pole. Pole comes from a tree. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Lord Jesus Christ bore our curse on the cross of Calvary and lifted up before the nation of Israel, and whoever looks shall live. So whoever looks to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified in our stead, buried and risen in our stead, so that because he lives, we shall do what? We shall live also. So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Why do we have eternal life? Not naturally. We're not going to cease to be, but we're either going to spend eternity one place or the other. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity with God in heaven, in a new heaven and a new earth, which he's going to create after reigning on this earth for 1,000 years. And in the new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be a sun. We can't exist without the sun at the present time, but by the same token, the sun's killing us. I was listening to a little bit of science, anything but science, and some of the things that were being proffered, the moon was brought from somewhere else to the earth to be put in orbit between the earth and, or around the earth, and so as it cycles with our cycle around the sun, then we, but it was brought here from somewhere else. They couldn't figure out, from the rocks that they gathered when we went to the moon. These things were designed to reflect light, but there's nothing like it anywhere else that we know about. So man in his wisdom is not very smart. And so it had to be brought into this universe from somewhere else. From where? they get the craziest ideas. And a lot of people ever since that are scientists, ever since we learned about DNA, have recognized, we have to have a creator. DNA is too complex to have just happened. So it goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in who? In Jesus, who is God, who became a man through the virgin birth, who fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, who died as a ransom for our sins. Now in his public ministry to the Jews, he was condemning the Jews with the law and reminding them of the presence, of the promises of God, that he would be born of a virgin, he was, that he would die according to crucifixion, 22nd Psalm, he was, that he would rise from the dead, and because he lives, what? We shall live on. Everything that we have in the New Testament is in the Old Testament, but it's hidden in shadows and types. It's always been salvation by God's grace through faith. The Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Could they? No. So the law was designed to be a teacher to show them that they needed a Savior. And so with the sacrificial system was given the pattern of the tabernacle, and with the law was given the sacrificial system and the pattern of the tabernacle, which is, you know, who dwelt in the holiest of holies in the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was representative of the dwelling place of God. You know. And the Ark of the Covenant had all of the broken relationships between Israel and the box. And there were two cherubim on it that looked down, you know, and they could see the broken relationship on the Day of Atonement. The blood of, of the Lamb was poured upon or sprinkled upon the mercy seat to do what? To block out what was in the box. So the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The law condemns them. Their sense of right and wrong condemns them, you know. But God's purpose is to save them. And he, you know, salvation is by grace through faith, through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did the Jews say about that? They said, we will not have this man to reign over. What do most of the people in the world say? We're okay. We're good people. You know, we don't need a Savior. That's the natural mind. And so, and this is the condemnation. Let me read verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness. Now, where did the darkness come from? Well, it came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a way which seemed right unto the man. It was the lie of the devil. The devil convinced Eve she could be like God. She was created in the image of God. So he's promising her something that she already has. But God said not to eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt what? Surely die. And so she died spiritually that day and began to die physically. Okay? So, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. I added the definite articles before the darkness and light, because they're present in the Greek. And everyone that maketh the evil his own hateth the light. That's a free translation. So who makes the evil their own? Virtually everybody in the world. Every religious system in the world, and most of what's called Christianity, they're always, you know, when I was in Bible college, I was talking about this in a message a while back. They were trying to make those, everybody, all those students, just perfect little Christians. You know? And it was just nonsense. Yeah. The emphasis was upon their lives, their work, their this. You know? And they're supposed to be teaching the grace of God. You know, apart from the Spirit of God in me, if I had believed all of the crap that I was taught in three different Bible colleges, I wouldn't be worth a darn when it comes to teaching the Word of God. You know, because the world is caught up in that lie. It can't get away from thinking it's right before God by the life that it lived. So that's what Jesus was doing there. So let me read two more verses and then go back to Matthew. For everyone that maketh the evil his own, that's what doeth means there, does what? Hateth the light. Who's the light? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So everyone that thinks that they can get to heaven by the life that they live doesn't want to have a thing to do with the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They want to think in terms of, I'm a good person. So everyone that maketh the light their own, or the evil their own, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. If they come to the light, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and he showed us that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and therefore by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. That's why the Jews hated him. And that's why most of the religious systems in the world, they can give lip service to Christ, but they're all bound up in their own lives. So, for everyone, I read that, verse 21, but he that maketh the truth his own cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they're wrought in God. Now let's go back to Matthew, and I'll bring this to a close. All right. So, when Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, I've never read a single commentator and I've read some very good theologians, but I've never seen a single one who ever connected this with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It should be obvious. The lie of the devil is you can be like God by the life that you live. That ought to be obvious, that's the basis for every religious system in the world and most of what's called Christianity and virtually all that was called Judaism. There were Jews that believed and they offered sacrifices unto God to represent the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But they were all tied up in, for the most part, in their own lives. So, continuing on then, he says, let me read verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else to make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. So now when we contrast the two trees, there was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but Adam and Eve didn't show any interest in that. And then because the serpent deceived Eve, there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she was told that would make her like God. She was already created in the image of God. And so when she was deceived into eating of that tree, she fell from the image of God. And Adam recognized that she would be lost forever if he didn't eat of the tree. So when he ate of it, then because he's the federal head of the human family, Eve came from Adam. And then after that, all of the human family have come from Adam and Eve by the process of birth. But Adam was created in the image of God. Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So as in Adam, Eve would have been lost. Adam would have continued on. But, Adam loved Eve. So when he ate of the tree, as he who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, did what? Became sin. He didn't sin. He took our sins upon himself. See? And that's basically what Adam did when he also ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God redeemed them with the sacrificial animal that provided a decent clothing, not fig leaves. Okay? So it's all there in shadow and in times. And so it says in verse 43, well, we talked about as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights. I'll just comment on that, and then we'll close. Jesus had to be in the grave for 72 hours. Traditional Christianity denies that. Traditional Christianity has him crucified on Friday and raised from the dead before dawn on Sunday. There are not 3 days and 3 nights. They jump hoops trying to produce 3 days and 3 nights. But there aren't 3 days and 3 nights. when we find out he was actually crucified on Wednesday. If he had made his triumphal entry on the into Jerusalem on Sunday, as tradition teaches us, he violated the Sabbath and could not be our Savior because he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany. And then the next day he made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So if he made it the next day, he did all that traveling on Saturday, but he couldn't travel that far as a Jew under the law. Okay. So tradition makes our Lord a Savior, or not a Savior, a liar, a breaker of the law, you know. And then when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he entered into the temple, walked through the temple, and then returned to Bethany. Then the next day, he cursed the fig tree. So, in actuality, he cursed the fig tree on a Sunday. And that fig tree represented Israel. Israel set apart, and the church was put in its place. See? So the Jews had to keep the Sabbath. They had to keep the law. They never did. The sacrificial system pointed them to faith in Christ, and there were many that believed, but most did not. You know, in the age in which we're living, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But most of what's called Christianity is all caught up in what? Their works. You know, they think they're keeping the law just as the Jews did. And so while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then said one unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak to thee. Now this sounds like Jesus is being very disrespectful to his mother and brethren. But he answered and said unto them, answered unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Yeah, Mary came to believe too. After he was crucified, Jesus' brethren came to believe too. But, who really is my mother? Who really are my brother? Are not ye in Christ? Okay. So the natural relationship don't count for anything. It's the spiritual relationship. Why? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples in verse 49 and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. We belong to the Lord. The natural realm counts for nothing. You know, Mary came to believe, his disciple, or his brothers came to believe. But they didn't believe during his public ministry. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, that is, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's the will of the Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. We have a relationship with God by grace through faith, not by any natural relationship. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.